So I'd love to share with you all a little bit about I started camp ministry in my own life when I was 7, when my parents sent me to Wesley Acres Camp, which is near Picton. Then I got involved with Echo Lake Camp, which is north of Kingston. And camp has truly impacted my life in a powerful way. Most of my God experiences have happened at camp, because it's time when we actually get away from the regular schedule. I think sometimes we get involved with life and life just keeps going. But camp is when we can actually step out of life for a moment and breathe and make space for God to speak to us. And so I've asked if Brett would come, Brett Purrington, wherever, there he is. And so for some of you, this is a new face. If you're his mother, it's not. Come on up. I asked him, so Brett has been coming to our church since September, and he's heavily involved in camp ministry, so I asked him if he would share a little bit of his camp story, specifically when and why he started coming to camp, how his camp shaped him or his faith, and how he has seen God use camp ministry to impact the lives of young people. So here you go.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'd like to introduce myself first so I'm not known as Leanne's son all the time. It's Brett with 2 T's. The second T is silent, just so you know. Mom told me to make it funny. That's all I got. I started going to camp when I was 7 years old, back in 2002. Not at the camp that I worked at now, but I loved it. I started working there because all my aunts worked there, and so I was like, oh, sweet, yeah, I'll try camp out. Ended up loving it, but every week that I would go, it was just such a blast. But then I applied to work there. I was a pretty shy guy back then, and didn't get the job. And then my aunt, who's on the board of directors, said to me, oh, try out this camp called Madiba. So I did. Tried it out. I applied there just for half the summer because I didn't know, this is a new place. Like, shy people don't usually try and go outside their comfort zone, right? So I tried it out. I'm going to share a little bit, and then it'll kind of all wrap itself together. So one of the big questions that I answered was, how has camp shaped you and your faith? So I'll talk about the first one. How has camp shaped me? Confidence. So trust me, I would not be able to stand up here and talk to you guys right now if camp didn't shape my confidence. To go into a little backstory about the different positions that I worked at the camp that I'm at right now, which is called Madiba. So 2011, I worked there in the dining hall. 2012 and 2013, I was the assistant cabin leader. 2014, 2015, I was the main cabin leader. And then the past 2 summers, I've worked as the summer camp coordinator. Small or large, they put me in many different positions and experiences that have shaped my confidence. So I'll just give you an example from each of those different positions that I've worked in. So dining hall, just getting to pray at some meal times in front of other staff was kind of a smaller one. Assistant cabin leading, so getting to lead campers in activities such as like mountain biking or mountain boarding. Main cabin leader, you get to mentor male assistant cabin leaders, you get to show them how to lead a cabin discussion. For the past 2 summers as a summer camp coordinator, I got to lead small groups for the male cabin staff. And one of the really cool experiences was I got to tell up, so on Friday night we tell this like made-up story. On the very last night of camp, and then you get to tie it in all at the very end and, like, share the gospel with these kids, which is just amazing. So that's a little bit about the confidence. One of the ways that camp has impacted my faith, the word that came to mind was passion. So a little backstory for you. I grew up going to church. I went because my parents made me go, and I had some good friends there. Honestly, it wasn't too interesting to me. But at camp, now I had these amazing cabin leaders who spent time with me all week, hanging out with, laughing with, and trying new activities. I built a strong friendship with not just the other, with the cabin leaders, but also the campers that were in my cabin as well. During camp, there's usually a time where all the campers meet together and a story or a topic from the Bible gets shared with them, and then you go and do your activities, and then you like what you signed up to do, and then you go and talk about the discussion later when you are going to bed. So with building this relationship with the cabin leaders and my other campers, the time that opened up for opportunity to talk about the topic, the Bible topic we learned about earlier in the day, and it just opened up a time to facilitate a discussion. And I believe this cabin discussion time was important to my faith, because instead of just learning about the stories, I got to be a part of the discussion, asking questions that came to mind, and getting to hear some of the questions that some of my other camper mates as well had, too. So summer after summer, I kept coming back, and I loved hearing people's stories and testimonies, and eventually the passion came back to bury with me. Started listening to more worship music, reading the Bible, not just in church, but like on my own time. With the spark of passion and confidence has led me into great situations and opportunities, such as leading kids to make yes decisions to God, kids realizing the first time that they are unconditionally loved and valued no matter what, myself reading the Gospels for the first time, kids rededicating their life to Christ, kids accepting Jesus as their Savior for the first time, myself getting baptized, myself finishing reading the whole Bible a couple months ago. I've been blessed to be able to mentor some of the kids there and some of the staff as well. Me baptizing another staff member last summer, which is just an amazing experience. Kids also being encouraged and asking questions about baptism, which then they went home and then they got baptized, which is really cool. And to finish off, I just want to share you a little story about one of my campers. I'll give you some backstory to it, though. So this is on Friday night. We like to do a one-on-one discussion with our campers, kind of figure out where they're at, how was their week, their highlights and whatnot. And so one of my campers, we talked to him, and word for word, this is what he said. So a little backstory, though. He loves the military, and he only went to church about like 50% of the time, usually. So word for word, this is what he said to me at the end of the week. I feel new, and like weight had been lifted off my shoulders, and I feel so loved. You know how in the military you serve people who are powerful? Well, I find it really cool that I now serve the one who is most powerful.
Hearing those stories of how God uses ministry, camp ministry, to change the hearts of people who then change the hearts of people. And that's Brett went to camp, like from I'm going to go and have fun to getting involved. And he literally rose up the ranks, starts off in the kitchen, then as a junior leader, then a leader of leaders, to the point that now he wants to be a member here at Barryford Methodist Church so he can continue discipling more people. So we say thank you, God, for what he's doing in Brett's life. But that's part of how God uses camp ministry to stir up gifts in people. And it was in 2002 that Frank Doman came to me, the youth pastor at his church, and Frank is our speaker today, and he said, Jen, I'd like you to be our program director this summer. And I was like, I've never done anything like that before. And he said, I have confidence that you can do this. And I was like, I'm glad you have confidence that I can do it. And that summer was life-changing for me. And gave me a real heart for camp ministry. And I continue to be a part of camp ministry. And this church very graciously releases me every summer so I can go and minister to campers in Manitoba. And I love how God does that. He plants the seed in one person. And this happens, if you have ever worked in camp ministry, usually the director or the program directors, they see these kids coming in. And God gives them this ability to say, that kid's going to be a leader. That kid can do it. And then they come and they ask the kid. And the kid's like, I don't know if I can do that. And they say, no, I have confidence that you can do it. Because they know that that our God that we serve can move in a powerful way in a life that is fully surrendered to him. They just provide opportunities for God to move. And I've known Frank and Lori Doman since 1997. They have been part of my family, my church family. And as I said last week, of the top three men who have influenced my life, Frank is in that top three men besides my dad and Kent Bandy and Frank Doman. Because this is what I would see. And this is the cool part. I would go into his office, and his Bible would be open in the middle of the day, and he would be praying and reading the Word. And as he put his Bible on the counter in our kitchen today, it's the same Bible. He's still using it to read and to grow in the Lord. And he would always be the first one to say, "Now, Jen, what does the Word of God say? We need to live our life out of what the Scriptures say." And last year, like, myself and a friend of mine have been constantly saying, "Frank, when are you going to get into ministry? When are you going to get into ministry? Other than the camp ministry, when are you going to do this?" And last winter, he called me up because we'd been harassing him a little bit. And he said, "I want you to, would you fast and pray with me so I can hear the Lord's voice in this?" And I just thought, God, you are continuing just to do your thing in Frank because Frank is willing to let you move in him. And so I am so excited that he said yes when I asked him to come and speak, because he really would rather unclog a toilet than speak in front of people. He is the guy, the get it done guy. And that's what I love about Frank and Lori, is they'll see a problem, they'll figure out how to do it and get it done with excellence to the glory of God. And so please welcome Frank Doman this morning.
I'm going to introduce who I am. I'm just a young guy who was born and raised in Sharon, Ontario, and then moved to Holland Landing, and only moved twice in my life. My parents were Dutch immigrants, and basically we just stayed where we stayed. And my dad came to dike the Holland Marsh, and that's what he was signed over to do. And so what happened was, basically, then I met a girl, and it was the pastor's daughter, and she was used to moving every 5 years in her life. And actually, it was very interesting, because as I came to your church, I remember building the school across the road. I worked for Burling and Ranger out in Innisfil, and I was a laborer. And I loved being a laborer. I didn't need to be a bricklayer, because if I brought them bricks and mortar, I could do that. And I didn't have to go to a gym at the end of the day, because it was pretty healthy. So I believe we did that when I was married in 5987. So I was probably built that in 89 or 88, the school across the road. And we used to travel. I lived in Keswick, so instead of coming down the lake, I would cross the lake because it was frozen. And the boss just said, "Boys, just leave the trucks in the window open. I don't mind losing a truck, but I don't want to lose two employees." So we used to come across the bay there instead of driving down. It was just the Dutch in me. I didn't want to pay for that much gas to go down and around. And so then what happened, my brother-in-law was asked to start a camp in Brantford, Ontario. And I said to him, "Sure, I'll come and help you build a camp. I'm only going to be there for 5 years, and then I will do what I wanted to do with my life. I'll go back to construction, because that's the safety thing for me." I was like the disciples, you know, as they're fishermen. Once Jesus left, they went back to fishing. Well, I would go back to construction, because that was my safety zone. I knew I could do it. I could do it well. And that sort of gave me a little bit of safety, right? I'm a youngest child, so I need that out of six, right? And so as I did that, we went to Brantford and worked 5 years. And then we resigned. And ministry can be challenging at times. And so what happened was, there was an individual at Huntley Street, and Circle Square is owned by 100 Crossroads, and he said, "Would you guys ever go to Arden?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not going to Arden." But my wife had other thoughts. And I'm like, "Oh, Lord." So I did not go to Arden gracefully. I went actually sort of with chains and sort of saying, "Oh, Lord, what do you want?" But the Lord knew I needed the camp. He needed me to realize that I stand here behind the cross, because it was Jesus Christ who made the difference there. It wasn't Frank Doman. I was just, like I said, I just like fixing broken things. And at that time, Arden Camp was broken. And God was the one who raised it up. And God was the one who brought it to allow to minister to 1,200 kids a year. And it wasn't nothing that Frank and Lori Noman did. It was actually, this is where I have to go to my notes and put on my glasses. And basically it was staff, like Brett, who told you about. It's about those individuals that, because at camp we needed 100 volunteers, and they are the ones that touch the campers' lives. And I realized that one time when we were short campers, and my wife said, what are we going to do? Or sorry, we're a short staff. She says, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm becoming a bunkhouse counselor because we don't have enough boys, and we got to do two deep. That's our policy. Two counselors got to be in that room, so I'm going to go sleep in the room. And she's like, oh, okay. I got a week of nice and peace and quiet. You're gone. So, and then I realized how important those staff are to the ministry of camp. Without them, anybody who's been staff here in this room, without you, the camp could not be where it is. You are the lifeline of Jesus Christ to those campers. The director gets the glory, but the reality is it's you as the volunteers that make the difference in their lives. Everybody sort of comes at the end of the year and gives the director the pat on the back, and the parents want to talk to the director too. But the reality is it's their counselors, it's the kitchen staff. It's actually the maintenance staff who clean the bathrooms. Because how many would want to go to camp and not have a clean bathroom? Right? And that was our policy. And there was an older fellow who came and worked at our ranch, Uncle Tom and Aunt Mary. And they were in their 60s. And one time I was preparing food because in retreats, if I don't have enough staff, then I move in the kitchen and start cooking and help with cooking. And I put it all together, and Uncle Tom stopped me just before going out. And he said to me, what are you doing? I said, putting this food out. He said, would you serve that to Jesus? And I looked at the plate and, probably not. He says, then don't put it out there for the people. He says, everything we do, we represent Jesus Christ to the people. And that gave me a whole new motto on life. And basically, everything that I do represents Christ to the individuals that I serve. And I am far from perfect, far from it. I make tons of mistakes every day. But it's only through the grace of Jesus Christ that that can happen. And camp is a place that allows us to get out of our norm. I'll be honest, I probably couldn't be a director today because the whole cell phone thing drives me nuts. I'm self-employed, so my cell phone is beside me 24/7. I have a heating company that does outdoor furnaces, and it's me and my son. And my son went to school, so now it's me. And we offer 24-hour service. And there are some days I would love to pick that cell phone up and chuck it in the lake, not to hear it ring. But we've also become that way with parenting. You think about it, I'm 52. If my mom didn't know where I was on Friday night, she had to wait till I got home on Friday night and ask me Saturday morning. Right? I have a 21-year-old. Mom doesn't know where the 21-year-old. Quick text. Hey, where are you? I'm sitting here. That would drive me crazy. I'd like, Ma, Lori, you can't do that. He's a good boy. He's coming home sometime tonight. But that has creeped into camp, right? The whole cell phone and everything. And I was, when I was doing that, I thought, man, this technology is so different. But I want to take us to, if you've got your Bibles, as Jen asked me to speak, I thought, what do I really have to bring to the people, Lord? And this is what the Lord led me to. So I apologize. As I read this, I'm not the most gracious reader. And hopefully, as I bring it all together, it will bring into context. In 13, it says in Hebrews, keep on loving each other, brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as if you were also their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering Marriage should be kept honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immorality. Keep your lives free from the love of money and the content with that you have. Because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember, leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of the animal of the into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies of the burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have the enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus Christ, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips that confess his name. And if I was just to take that part about Jesus going out the city and that us coming out to camp, and I was like, when I was reading that, that's why I started at the beginning of the chapter. I didn't want to take it away from what the writer's writing there. And basically, that's what camp is. It takes you out of your normal life and puts you in a place that God allows you to become ministers. And in so many times in life is where I've learned to realize that without God, I have no hope. Sure, I can make money, I can live in nice cars and everything, but that's going to fade away. That's going to be gone. My hope is in Jesus Christ, and hopefully I don't trust in those items that I sit in and drive in the houses I live in. I realized as a camp director and in Brantford, I was an operations manager. And one time it broke my heart when a young lady was a staff member. She was 16, 17. And her mom and dad would come on the weekend because they would sometimes come pick them up and take them for a break. And then Sunday we started again at camp. And her father looked at her and said, "What are you doing?" She said, "What?" "Go up into your room and get makeup on." And I thought, what? This girl's naturally pretty. What do you mean, go up into your room and put makeup on? Do you realize the hurt that you just did in that young girl's life? As a father of three daughters, I realized my mouth brings life to them. That they know that Daddy loves them and they don't have to look a certain way to realize that. But you know what? As soon as Dad left on Sunday, she took off her makeup because she wanted to be who she was. And camp allowed that. Camp allows you to bring your strengths and who you are. And actually allows you to bring basically your weaknesses. Because to be honest with you, I wasn't a great director. It was just God who equipped the people around that made that camp great. And it was my weaknesses that allowed him to speak into my life, because it's easier doing campfire because it's a little fire, and we start with normally about 7-year-olds and work our way up by the time you get to teen camp. So by that time I've got boldness to speak at campfire, but the little guys just trust you, because back in those days you're the sheriff. right? And that was one story that I left out because, see, I didn't really know if I wanted to go to camp. And we had to present a letter to the individual, and we then took our family. We didn't talk to our kids because, well, we talked to our kids, but we didn't talk about going back to camp. And we went to Swiss Chalet after Sunday service, as every good Christian family goes to. My wife had a bit of Pentecostal in her. And so my daughter reaches in the treasure box and hands me this. And that day I had to decide, and the letter was in my wife's purse, whether we would present the letter to the overall director of Circle Square Ranches if we would take on going to Arden. And it's basically, you're the sheriff. And I was like, at the other place I was the operations manager, so I was underneath the sheriff. And I'm like, God, you need to send me a sign because I want to make sure I'm doing what you want me to do. And my, how old was she then? 6 or 7? Handed me this and said, Daddy, this is for you. So this was my sign that I kept, knowing that God, you have sent me here, so I'm going to trust you in what you've asked me to do. And in life, we've had, in camp, camp isn't always a perfect place. It's a great place. There's some people who have met their spouses there. They've grown, and if they look at from where they've been and to where they are, my own daughter has met her husband there at camp, and he lived in Hamilton, and we lived in Kingston, and stuff happened. But then also for the camp directors that are here, or camp staff, there are situations that things just go wrong. Just like we heard this weekend, that bus accident. You know, there was times we had accidents and we had to have a helicopter airlifted into camp. And all we could do was pray the precious blood of Jesus Christ over that life. And it was a mistake. A mistake that happened, and we looked at our policies and we looked at what happened and we redesigned it so that mistake would never happen again. Because the greatest fear for me as a camp director, having 5 children of my own, was not returning your child in better condition than when they came to camp. That would rip my heart out. And it would be like devastation. Because you'd trust in me to provide a safe place for your child. And by God's grace, I will try my best to provide that. But I don't have, we have horses, so we have horse that have their own minds. I don't know why he created those things once in a while. But on this other accident, my wife had to deal with the situation, and she was praying. And she asked the individual, do you believe in Jesus? Because I'm going to pray for a miracle right now. And in that accident, there was blood coming out of his mouth and out of his ears. But he recovered, and he was 100% as far as we know. Never, you know, we've seen the family. They came back and other situations. And so that's where I really learned that, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. And every moment is very important. But I want to challenge us because not all of us go to camp. For young people, it can be life-changing, where you see miracles happen, where you see lives changed. But watch out, because it's going to change your own life 100%. Because it changed my life 100%. But also, I want to challenge us to look at when God says the camp aspect, it's basically taking us to a place that allows us to see God. I was very interested in your men's fellowship because that's a way as a camp. You guys are going to minister to people and give them blessing that they can't imagine. And as you fellowship with one another, you're taking out of your normal day, your normal circumstance, and you're allowing God to use your talents for His glory and His kingdom. And you watch the amazing things He'll do through that ministry. And it was interesting that Mike said he never went to camp, but I've got a little bit of farming in me because I had to do horses and hay, and my grandfather's a dairy farmer. in times in those tractors, except when you have breakdowns, because it's not always the greatest thing, you see God. You plant it in faith, knowing that God's got to send the rain, the harvest, and the crop. And that's what camp is. Seeing the goals and things that you just offer up to God to make a difference in people's lives. So what is your camp? What's your place where you go to be alone with God? Some it may be a prayer closet. Some it may be a nature walk. Some it may be praying for others. Where is it that God meets you 100%? And you can put the troubles of your world away. And that's what camp was for me. It changed my life forever. And God realized with my wife Lori and my five children that to make our family a success, we needed this camp to speak into our lives. And they know that God is real. Not saying they don't have struggles. They're like everybody else. But they know God will answer. Because they know it's not about our abilities. It's about allowing us to surrender. It's almost doing exactly like Samuel. Last night, my wife woke me up at 2:30 in the morning. We stayed at my mom's, who lives in Newmarket, in an apartment. And she heard. Mother's ears are a lot better than guys' ears, because us guys can sleep through some. Mom's ears, as soon as they hear something, they're like, up, right? It's like, what'd you hear? Like, I didn't hear nothing. Maybe because I operate chainsaws without hearing protection, but I was like, I didn't hear anything. She goes, somebody's yelling help. So I'm like, you're hearing things. You're dreaming. So she said, Frank, there it is again. And I couldn't hear it. So then what happened was we opened the window to see if it was somebody outside in the streets yelling for help. And it wasn't. So then, as the old kid trick, I said, okay, fine. I'm going to get a glass from my mom's cupboard, put it on these concrete walls, sit there. Nope, not coming from there. Floor. Nope. But then I got a chair. So you got a picture of this, the bed. Put up a chair, got to the ceiling, and could hear, help me, right? Very faintly upstairs. So then I woke up my mom. She's 92. Because I didn't, Lori's like, it's your mom. And I walked in my mom's bedroom. There she is, sound asleep. I'm like, it's not my mom. Asking for help. So then I woke her up. I said, Mom, who's the superintendent that I can call? And my mom's a great lady, and she loves people. She's like, Frank, are you sure? Maybe it's best that we do not get involved in this, right? And I'm like, no, we have to get involved in this because this person is crying for help. And it's no different than the world. You guys have the hope of Jesus Christ in your life. They may not cry it out vocally, but that school bus accident, the hockey bus accident, the only hope they're going to get out of that is the hope in Jesus Christ. It doesn't bring the situation that it's not terrible, but actually my wife brought to my attention, she said, Frank, it brings back memories, because her brother was a pastor, and four of them were traveling down the road to go to a senior's home and were killed. At that time, it was a different situation. A truck hit them and killed all four of them in Saskatchewan. But she says, I know what it feels like to get the phone call. But the only thing that's going to be left, and as people shared, is the hope of people clinging together. I understand it. I've been on the bus. My son's 21, and he's played some high-end hockey since he was 14. So I've been on many bus rides. But the only hope is the hope that you and I have and getting involved in that. It may not be in Saskatchewan, but it may be in your communities. expressing the experience that you had with God and the times where God met with you. And I guess what I wrote down here, are we like Samuel who says, "Here I am, you called"? Are we waiting to listen to God's voice and see what He has for your life? Because I would have loved been a laborer. That wouldn't have hurt me. I'd probably be a lot buffer than I am today. But God called something else out of me and asked me to go somewhere else. And like I said, I was reluctant to go to the call. But yet He used me. Where would God maybe be calling you? What is your camp? Where do you meet with God? You never know the difference that you can make unless you're willing to step and allow God to use you. And that's what I'll leave you with today. The potential that you have is great. Some of you guys are gifted in certain things. But are you willing to allow God to use those giftings for His glory? Allowing Him to use you so that He can be exalted. He can be lifted up. And you watch Him blow the doors away. Because you know what? When I first got married to Lori in 1987, I thought, you know what? We're going to live in Keswick, small little white house. And just have our family. Retire at 65, you know. But I would not trade the day or an hour in for that convenience. I met with a young man at a conference. We went to a regional conference, and Daniel Graham was there. And in 1987, I was just newly married, and I really didn't know the Bible much. I came from a Catholic home. I was going to be a priest. I got married to Lori, but they needed a youth leader. And we just invited Daniel, took him to a cottage and the youth. And Daniel said that those were some of the most growing times in his Christian walk. And I'm like, God, what did I do? We didn't do anything. But we just made ourselves available. Are you willing to make yourself available so your friends will know where you stand with Jesus Christ? And sometimes, I'll be honest, it's easier to say than to do. Camp was an easy place. Parents paid for the kids to come to camp and experience God's love. So I was paid to preach the gospel and give them a safe place. Sometimes that's harder in my workforce to share that love with the individuals. But it burns in with desire with me. Especially after what hearing on the weekend and things that happen, it is a very important place for us to be ambassadors of our Lord and Savior.
Are you willing for your life to be changed? That's probably one of the toughest places to be, because as he said, things get comfortable. Things get easy. I'm looking at Peter, and we had a conversation 2 weeks ago, and he would never have imagined that he would become a caregiver to someone else. He just simply said yes. So, yes, we're promoting camp ministry today, but we're also promoting life ministry today. What is God calling you to that He has a place for you, for your giftings, for you to trust Him to use you in a powerful way to change lives, to impact people with the love of Jesus Christ? I don't know. But what's interesting is somebody sent me a video that basically said, you know what? I don't have to worry about being like fully like energized every day. I just need to be fully obedient every day. And that's what we're asking for this morning. Like, Bruna, invite you to the prayer rails. This is a place of decision. This is a place of prayer. This is a place of just stepping out. But if God is tweaking your heart this morning, You heard Mike say, like, we have lots of places where we need volunteers. And as Frank said, we don't know what we did. We just showed up. Because that's all God needs you to do, is to show up. Let God do the work. So the prayer wheel is a place of reckoning sometimes. Maybe you need to work something out with the Lord. Maybe you want to come forward and intercede for someone. The prayer wheel is here. Your church family will gather around you and pray for you. But don't leave this place today if God is touching your heart and asking you to do something. And it could be to come to know him. Maybe you haven't made that decision yet today of surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, becoming a God follower. And it goes like this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's making a choice to follow Jesus. Not getting it perfect right off at the beginning, but saying, you know what? I've sinned in my life, but I want to follow Jesus. I don't know what that looks like, but this God thing is real, and I want that. If that's you today, then you come forward and we'll pray for you. But don't leave here today if you need to get your business straight with God, whether coming to know him as a first-time believer or maybe if he's touching your heart to do something, to rise into a ministry or to get involved in your community. I don't know what it is, but you know, because you can feel him squeezing your heart. That's the touch of the Holy Spirit. If you need to talk to someone, talk to myself or Pastor Velma. Rob is around, and you can talk to Frank as well. But be encouraged. God isn't going to just give you a task to do and then forget about you. He's going to help you walk it through. So don't neglect to do good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. And ministry is a sacrifice. It's not about being easy or convenient. Ministry is not convenient. It's obedience so God can move in a powerful way. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we go and sing and listen, help us to respond to your Spirit. And Lord, help us to let go and let you direct us. The things that we're holding on to, Lord, where it just seems impossible to say yes to you. Lord, may the thought of saying no to you cause us even more grief than saying yes and having to let go. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to guide this time as we make our response to you. In your name, amen.